Hi, you're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message will inspire and empower you to move forward.
That was God. He did that. So we need to think of those things, not the negatives, not the struggles. We think of the positives, all the good things that God has done. And then 2020 is about new starts. You know, the number 20 symbolizes the cycles of completeness in the Bible. There's been a period of labor or trial, and after 20 years, that's rewarded. So if anyone here has been through 20 years of struggles, this is the year for you. This is the year of expectancy. Expectancy. And I believe there's going to be amazing things happen this year. I'm believing we're going to see more and more of the Holy Spirit moving through us than ever before. Let's have that scripture, Mark 16:20. And they went out and they preached everywhere. They, being the disciples, us, they preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs and wonders. We'll have those, all of the signs and wonders. So they were sent out to preach. Verse 8 in the NLT says, the sacred and unfailing message of salvation that gives eternal life. Now, this Mark 16:20 is the last verse of the Gospel of Mark, the gospel that focuses on Jesus, the servant. See, we see the four faces of Jesus through the Gospels. And Matthew, we see the king. In Luke, we see the perfect man. In John, the only begotten Son of God. In Mark, we see the servant at work, even in death. And now the disciples will take his place and carry on his work through them, all the way down to us. We're still carrying on the work of Jesus, still the worker, though risen. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? Amen. I said last week, and I love that song about it, that I'm claiming Psalm 23, verse 5 for 2020. My cup will overflow. My cup will overflow with blessings. That we will live in the overflow. Our cup will be so full and so overflowing that not only do we live in abundance, but we have an abundance to give away. Holy Spirit wants to work through us. You know, we need the Holy Spirit. And at the end of this meeting, hang around because we're going to anoint everybody here with oil. Oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit, the symbol of the anointing. And we need him. And we need to be filled up, our cup overflowing every day. And as we fill up, as we bless one another, as we anoint one another, you know, we're just going to know, I believe, the best year of our lives is coming up. Amen? Amen. So how does he work through us? Well, we've got a niece. She's a top lawyer in New Zealand. And she has the gift of leadership. Now, you go to her place for Christmas dinner or whatever, and there'll probably be at least 70 people there. And everybody will know what they're doing, will know what they're bringing. And some will be, there'll be guys doing the pig on the spit. There'll be people doing food in the kitchen. There'll be people setting the table, making it look beautiful. There'll be somebody playing games with all the kids. Everybody is doing something. And you might think, boy, that must be stressful, having 70 people for dinner or for any meal. No, she's not stressed. She's floating around having a ball with all her visitors and guests. See, she has the gift of leadership. There's no stress. She just loves to socialize. You see, God has given us gifts that when we flow in those gifts, there's no stress. There is just joy. And at the end of, you know, at the end of the morning, suddenly this magnificent banquet appears on the table. You think, where did all that come from? It just like appeared. But everybody was flowing in their gifts and everybody had a great time and everybody was blessed. See these singers, this beautiful worship team, they bring the presence of the Lord every week. Just sing their hearts out. No stress. It's their gift. It's what they love to do. Ross, who would have thought that at about 10 years ago, I won't give the age, that a gift that had always been there, but he'd never realized that the gift of writing books suddenly came to the fore. We were in Thailand and God said to him, write a book. These people have got very little by the way of resources. And so he has loved writing books. He's up to his third now. And it was confirmed to us. I mean, you do it and people read them, you never quite know the impact. But there was this girl in Thailand, she was a sex worker, and she got hold of his book. It's translated into Thai, Restored for Good. And she began to read it, and she began to read it, and she began to cry, and she began to read it, and couldn't put it down. And at the end of it, she said, I want to change my life. I want to be like this. And she was led to the Lord. And then the last women's conference when we were over there, we gave an altar call for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. She was down the back and she started running to the front. By the time she got to the front, she was shouting in tongues. Signs and wonders will follow the gift. Signs and wonders will follow. All we have to do is flow in what God has given us. You know, you might have a compassion for sick people, maybe a healing gift, as you declare what you see God doing. The Holy Spirit will confirm what you declare and the Word of God with signs and wonders. What is it you love to do? God wants to use it for His glory. He wants to use it. Only you have that unique gifting. Only you. Why does He want to use it? So the gospel is preached. So that the gospel is preached. Now, people often think, we're not struggling, if we're not suffering, if we're not in pain and you know, agonizing, maybe we're not serving the Lord. Now, that is so not true. So not true. You see, if we are flowing in our gifting, we will not only love what we do, but it will be sustainable. Year after year after year after year. We never get tired of it. Now, I know there's a degree of commitment, there's a degree of discipline. Of course there is. Sometimes it's tiring, sometimes it's hard work. But it's like we love doing what we do. And, you know, 40 years later, like us, you'll still be doing it. That's the gifting, that's the power of the gifting. And I would say today, say, God, if you don't already know, often we already know what we love to do. And God will use that. But if we don't, God, what would you have for me? For me, when I'm studying the Bible, I'll get a revelation of God's goodness, of God's love, of God's power, of something in the Bible, and then I can't wait to get to Bible study to share it. See, when it's flowing in the gifting, we can't wait to exercise it. Those who do craft or do cooking or whatever, we can't wait to exercise it. You are, whatever it is you love to do, you are so needed in the body of Christ. Okay, why do we need Him? Why do we need Him? We need Him for the big things, but we also need Him for the little things. I have a little 4-year-old granddaughter, and she said to us recently, how does Jesus get inside your skin and get into your heart? How does He get in there? She's 4, very bright. I thought, oh, how do I answer this? Oh, my goodness, that'll you know, please a 4-year-old. And so I had said, Holy Spirit, I need you. Please explain, you know. How can I tell a 4-year-old how you get in their heart? And then I thought, it came over me, Holy, and I said to her, I said, you know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus is spirit. And He's like the wind that blows. I said, you can't see it, but you can feel it. And you can't see Jesus, but you can feel Him loving you and your friend. She was quite happy with that, bounced off and never asked anymore. Normally it's why, but she was happy with that and bounced off. So, phew, thank you, Lord. See, very early on, I realized I could not do life on my own. Over 40 years ago, I needed help. And he helped me. He changed my life. Let's have a look at Acts 16, 13 to 15. On the Sabbath day, this is Lydia. On the Sabbath day, the disciples with Paul, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was being customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken of by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, please, if you've judged me to be faithful, stay a bit at my house. Come and stay with me. So she persuaded us. Now, Lydia was a very wealthy woman, a seller of purple dye and fabric, but it was not enough for her. Being wealthy was not enough. She was hungry for the presence of God. She was, you know, passionate for it. And the Holy Spirit, in actual fact, she was the first Gentile convert in Europe. But the Holy Spirit opened her heart to hear the words of Paul. You see, he opens our heart and our minds follow. I remember the very moment that it happened to me. I had been arguing with my mum who'd recently become a Christian and was full on, and everybody heard about it. And not just once, but as long as they would stay and listen, she would go on and on. So many times I said, oh, mum, give it a rest, you know. But then one day, she was in the lounge and she was just praying quietly. And I just happened to walk past and through the door, and she was praying in tongues. And my heart went, oh, my God. She was praying in tongues. She was in the spirit. And my heart changed. This is real. God, if you're there, I need you. I need that. I didn't know what it was, just the Spirit of God opened my heart. I know, I can still remember the very moment it happened. You see, it takes the working of the Holy Spirit for us to see Jesus, for the veil to be removed. You see, the Bible, it's just a book of words without understanding of the Holy Spirit. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit, therefore we need to read it through the eyes of the Spirit. It's meant to be talked about. And if you want to talk about it, come to Bible study on Wednesday morning. We have a great time starting on the 12th of February about then. We have a great time. Now, sometimes we can get frustrated by somebody's inability to see. We can witness and share and pray and do everything. And, you know, it seems like they can't see. We can get frustrated with them. It's feel like saying, why can't you see? It will help you so much. And I know my mum felt like that with me. And but we need to pray, Holy Spirit, open the eyes of their heart. Open their hearts to see. Well, she did. She saw. She accepted what Paul was saying. She rejoiced. And you know, she had a passion. She was so passionate. Her whole household was saved. Her whole household were baptized. And then she begs Paul, I love this, she begs Paul and his companions, just stay a while, stay with me, come stay with me. And I thought, why is this? And I remembered myself, she was so passionate now, she just wanted to be around them. She wanted to pick their brains all night if she could. And that's how it is when our eyes are opened. We just want to know more and more and more of the love and the grace and the blessing that Jesus has for us. A passion that never goes away. A passion for his word that is always there. See, I was like this. I had no Christian upbringing. But when I was born again, experienced the love of Jesus, I couldn't get enough of it. And I would be at every meeting. I'd be at every Christian meeting. I'd be at everything I could get to just to find out who this man Jesus was. And I'd wanted to be full of his word. I read it and got the children's Bible to start with. I didn't even know who these people were, and no knowledge at all of the Bible. So I'd read it, and start with the children's, then got on to the Good News in those days, and then something else, and ended up with a big black New King James. But you see, if we're full of, we've heard this spoken of before, like the Japanese trains that us chock-block full, and they'll stop at another station and another 1,000 people will get on. And there'll be pushers that'll push them into the so they can get them all on and then shut the doors. It's like that with the Word of God. If we are so full of the Word of God, if we keep stuffing it in, then there's no room for the enemy. There's no room for anything else to get in. And then we are compelled to never stop sharing with others. It's like that cup that won't run dry. The more we give away, the more that flows in. We hit dry patches, we do, in our walk. But it's like that hose that blocks up. and we feel dry. That's the time to give away again. Find somebody. Share your story. Share your story with them. Share about Jesus and how he's helped you. Find anybody who will listen. And you watch that flow begin to flow again, that passion begin to arise. And then we're walking on again. So, how do we hear him? How do we hear the voice of God? We need to practice that. We need to do it. You know, days, even weeks sometimes can go by and we think, how long is it since I've heard God speak to me? See, I believe in this year, he wants to do so much. We need to be that close with him. You see, relationship is two-way. He's speaking to us, we're speaking to him. We need to hear his voice. We need to practice it with each other. Each week I say in Bible study, what's the Lord been saying? What's the Lord been saying this week? Share, what's the Lord been saying? And sometimes people will say, give a word, a testimony, something that God's been speaking to them about. But often it's a blessing to everyone in the group. And I believe we need to encourage one another. What's God saying? What's God saying? It's obviously the most important thing we can do as a Christian. And I often say we need to shut out the noise more and more in our day and age. Shut out the noise, the busyness, the negativity, the phone, the well-meaning advice, the not-so-well-meaning advice, even what has happened in the past. Shut it out. Shut out the noise and just hear Jesus. We see we are bombarded with distraction and noise all the time. And we may have to make a conscious effort. I want to hear God's voice. I want to hear what you're saying today. We know the story of the transfiguration in Matthew 17:2. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and they went up a high mountain, and he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And Moses and Elijah appeared. And Peter spoke up and he said, Lord, if it's good for us to be here, if you wish, we can make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, three shelters. And while he was still speaking, I love that word, behold, in the Bible, because it's expectancy of something good's going to come. He said, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Listen to him. See, Moses represented the law. The law was passing. Elijah represented the prophets. That was the old covenant. Now there was a new covenant, Jesus. And he was saying, listen to him. It's all about him. Leave the past behind. Walk in his presence. Practice his presence. See it, feel it, like it. Everywhere we go, his presence goes too. We need to see him doing the work. We need him. He is just there. We need to declare what we already see him doing. Take him with us wherever we go, to that job interview, to work, to school, at home, in the family. Take him wherever we go. See, hearing God is an essential part of our life. We've faced many crossroads with major decisions to handle, as many of us, most of us have. And it's their decisions have not only been affecting us, but they've affected a lot of other people as well. But it's like, how do we hear God? For me, I hear God when I'm reading the word. It's like, this is not original. When you read God's written word, you will hear God's spoken word. But often a word just will just drop in. Drop in. Going about our day, just a word. And you know it's God. It could be unexpected. It'll just drop in. We know it's God because we're not that smart. See, God's word is very creative. And we know, I wouldn't have thought of that. We just know it's right. And then there's a peace that follows. You see, God has the first voice. The devil comes along with the second voice to argue, to confuse, to say, oh, that's not right. You know, that's nonsense. Listen to the first voice. See, the devil's not creative. He'll just contest or argue what God has said. He wants to pull the rug all the time. See, we hear the Holy Spirit on a different level, spirit to spirit. And we can only hear him by the Spirit. Now, this is very real. It's not emotional. It's not airy-fairy. It's not, you know, weird. Because it's not soulish. It's not to do with our feelings or our thinking or our will. It's of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit, and then our mind catches up. If you like, people, we reason, but Christians, believers, we perceive. Say that again. People reason, but believers, we perceive. We see more. We see what's behind something. And sometimes we might think, doesn't everybody see this? No. God's shown it to us for a reason. Now, the reason might just be to pray. The reason might be to ask that somebody if they'd like to share. Never to condemn anyone, never to put anyone down, never to judge anyone, never to direct anyone, but just maybe to pray. He's showing you for a reason. So trust that word. And it's good sometimes to talk about somebody we trust, about what we've seen, because sometimes it can be quite confronting. But don't think, doesn't everybody see that? No, we've perceived it by the Spirit. We need to practice this. We need to walk in this. It's very important as the times get darker. We need the Holy Spirit more and more. We need all of the gifts. We need the perception. We need to be flowing in him. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. One last thing. If we're really stuck and we really need to make a really important decision and we just don't know, we're just confused, we're double-minded, we're not sure about what to do, a sure way to find God's heart is to go in a room on your own and for 15, 20, 30, however long it takes, just pray in tongues. Because you're putting yourself, lifting yourself into the spirit realm. This is of the Spirit. So you're going to hear by the Spirit. So keep praying in tongues until you hear. And then share it with somebody. It's worked for us so many times. Sometimes we've got so much noise going on that we can't hear. So go pray in tongues for however long it takes. See, we're called to be communicators of the gospel of grace. And Jesus helps us in our humanity. He gives us the Holy Spirit. God will use our giftings to do this. He is creative and ever faithful. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to do this. And, you know, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit when he was baptized, and it descended on him. He descended on him like a dove. And after that, he began his ministry. How much more do we need it? We're going to anoint with oil in about 1 minute.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, forwardchurch.com.